What's up, everybody? I am your host, Nick Sanchez, and welcome to another episode of Reel It In. It has been a very long time, but I am so excited to be back. Unfortunately, I am not back with my co-host and little brother, Gabriel Ray, but I am here with a very dear friend of mine, and very excited to have him here, and it is Brandon Shaw. Brandon, how's it going, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm good.
Awesome. That's fantastic. No, I appreciate you being here, man. This was exciting because we haven't done the episode, or we haven't done an episode for the show in a very, long time.
How many episodes of Reel It In does this make?
Oh, man. Oh, I honestly, off the top of my head, I have no idea. I know we've done a couple of seasons, but we really, I mean, it was like kind of, you know what, we're going to make season two since we got better equipment. There was no organization as to how many episodes we released and in what season it is. Honestly, I'm thinking about just scrapping it and call this season one. But I haven't decided that yet. Season one, episode one, Reel It In. Just, the relaunch. Just,
Do
it. Rebrand it. Just everything. But I'm super stoked to be back doing this because this is definitely something that when we were doing it more regularly, Gabe and I, something that we really loved doing, or I loved doing. And so to finally have someone to come back and do this with, this is pretty exciting. So I appreciate you being here. That being said, everybody listening, we welcome you back and, sorry it has been so long. We have had some individuals, text me and have conversations with me when you've seen me asking when we were going to be back, what our next movie was going to be. But we hadn't gotten to that point yet. So I'm excited to be back and not only to be back, but be back in the spooky season. I've been on a grind watching scary films and horror films and thrillers. More so than past years, and so I'm excited for this one, and the episode on this is going to be Pray for the Devil. It released yesterday, October 28th, Friday, and before we kind of get into it, Brandon, what are your thoughts? Do you like horror movies? Do you like thrillers? Is this something you look forward to in the spooky season, or is this something that you're not really, like, you kind of don't really care either way, but you'll watch a scary movie if it's available to watch?
No, I love horror films. The first horror film I can remember watching was at a very, very young age. Jeepers Creepers, like, the first horror film I ever watched with my mom. Nice. She was big into horror films. On my dad's side, they're big into horror films too. Like, one of the first ones I remember watching with them was, like, the Amityville Horror, like the remake.
Okay.
Or like House of a Thousand Corpses, or like,
did you watch the most recent Jeepers Creepers? Because they released a new one. They released a sequel.
I watched they came out with one like a couple years ago too. And then this one actually, I think, got a theatrical release. And I watched the trailer for it. And I was like, I'm not going to waste my time going to see that. Like,
yeah.
I have a soft spot for Jeepers Creepers, at least the first two. I think that's why I also like Justin Long too, because he was in the Jeepers Creepers.
Okay,
films.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to waste my time to go see
Justin Long. That was Justin Long last night.
Yeah.
In The Barbarian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I kind of want to talk about that one too, but
yeah, well, we're here to talk about Pray for the Devil.
Pray for the Devil, but we can talk about some other stuff along the way, before we get to there, because I don't want to just kind of jump right in. It is spooky season, obviously. We're in October. We're almost to the end of spooky season, so to speak.
Yeah, it's the 29th.
Yeah. I mean, we're almost there.
Yeah.
A couple days away.
2 days.
And so I did want to kind of just start talking about a little bit of some of the films that, I've been watching. As well as some of the TV shows, too. And so, just kind of a few things that are off the top of my head that have kind of made, you know, like the headlines, like Jeffrey Dahmer was a big one for Netflix. Mm-hmm. Still something that people are talking about. Barbarian, which we watched last night.
Yeah. Well, you watched it for the first time last night.
You rewatched it for the second time last night. We had a dilemma. Or not a dilemma, but we were discussing which movie to go see today. Which we did see Pray for the Devil today, ultimately.
Yes.
But it was between that and Terrifier 2.
Yes.
And neither one of us had seen Terrifier 1.
No.
And apparently, I mean, it did well enough for them to make a second one. And then that one...
Crushed
again.
Like, and I think it just did well because of word of mouth.
Yeah.
Like, I teach middle school, so like all the students are like, oh, Terrify this. And I was like, I saw the trailer in theaters when we went to go see Barbarian, I think. And me and Danielle, which is my girlfriend, we were like, the trailer came out and it didn't even have like the preview where it's like, oh, PG-13, like the typical thing that usually comes off. It just like went into it. And of course it's an indie film with like a $250,000 budget. So like it looks differently than your big blockbuster films. And so we're watching and we're like, is this a fan film? Like, what is this, a real thing? Like, what is this? And it looked so poorly put together and it looked bad. And then it came out and just like headlined everything and was like crushing in the box, like made over like $5 million with like a $250,000 budget, which is huge.
In the first weekend.
Yeah. And it has like a 2-hour and 18-minute runtime for a slasher film, which is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
And.
But that's kind of exciting. Like,
no, yeah, like it caught my attention.
Right.
For sure, yeah.
It, like, to the fact that somebody, or, you know, a director, or, you know, the production film team and whatnot, everybody that's involved with making a film can use $250,000 and make that much money and make a quality film out
from
of
what
it.
We heard. We don't know.
From
we haven't
what
seen
heard.
It. Yeah.
Right, word of mouth.
Yeah,
that's exciting. I feel, just for the genre itself.
Yes, especially for slasher, which, I mean, it's still horror, but it's totally a different kind.
Right.
Of, you know, like a subgenre.
Yeah.
Obviously, like Pray for the Devil is a paranormal.
Yeah.
Barbarian,
spiritual.
Barbarian, I would consider more of a thriller, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And then Terrifier 2, is a slasher. So, and slashers typically don't have much substance, in my opinion. Like the Halloween films, or like the Friday the 13th films.
I don't know.
Or even the Chainsaw
Massacre
films.
I would kind of arguably say that most horror doesn't have, what did you say, substance?
Substance? I disagree.
You disagree?
I disagree. Barbarian had substance.
It did not have substance.
One of my favorite horror films, and it's
Barbarian.
Hereditary came out a few years ago.
I've heard of that one. I've never seen it.
You should definitely see it.
Okay.
I think it came out in 2016, 2017. Just it. I don't think it did very well. It wasn't very well received in the box office because it was very indie. I think it was, once again, the director's first major theatrical released film. Besides some like short films and stuff. Great. I think you should see it.
All right. I'll put that on the list. But yeah, I mean,
it actually just got re-released in theaters.
Hereditary.
So along with Midsommar, which is from the same creators of Hereditary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've kind of been, like I said, I've kind of been on my own grind with horror and thrillers recently. And I don't know why this year, all of a sudden a switch has flipped, because I'm not typically a horror thriller type person. But, you know, I watched the Halloween Kills. I eventually want to watch Halloween Ends, but we all know, basically off of word of mouth as well, how shitty of a movie that one turned out to be.
Yeah, it's not doing so well.
And so I still want to watch it, and I will eventually watch it. I'm sure HBO Max will get it, just like
it'll
the other
get
Halloweens.
It. Yeah.
So I am looking forward to watch that, but I watched Halloween Kills a few nights ago as well and was very upset with that with that film. I thought I don't get it. I don't understand how like people get into a room and don't make a quality story, like with all that money. It just doesn't make sense to me.
And my, the issue there is the 2019 or the 2018 one, the first one in this new trilogy that came out. I thought it was solid.
Yeah,
that was good.
It was
I went
not
to go see
a horrible
it.
Sequel to
I went
the
to
original
go see
Halloween
it in theaters, and it was supposed to like it retconned everything else. So like the one that came out in 2018 was supposed to be like the true sequel to the 1989. I don't know when it came out. The first one with Jamie Lee Curtis. And of course now everyone has to go for the trilogy. Especially someone that like a household name is like Halloween and Michael Myers. They're like, yeah, we have to. And the three movies, Halloween, Halloween Kills, and Halloween Ends, takes place in what, 24 hours, 48 hours?
Yeah, I mean, because the Halloween Kills picks up right after.
And I think they had an idea, like, let's do something that takes place all like in 2 days or so, or one day, day and a half. But they didn't have enough story to spread out into three movies.
Yeah.
And so what I've heard for the third one, which I haven't seen yet, is that they were just like scrambling. Like they didn't know what to do. They're like, we need a third film, but
because
we don't have.
Because
we said we're going to do a trilogy, but we don't have enough story to do.
Right.
So we just did something.
Yeah. No, I agree. And they have to do it within a day, you know, 24 hours, because it's Halloween. Like, that's the whole purpose of Mike Myers. He comes back on Halloween. Exactly.
Not November 1st.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of one of those things that, like, you do sort of put yourself in a very confined
space. Yeah.
To then say, oh, we're going to make three movies.
They back themselves into a corner.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's why the second and the third one did as poorly and are doing poorly for this trilogy, because there's just literally take pieces of the second, pieces of the third, put it in with the first, and just make it one movie. Even if it's 2.5 hours long. Like,
But studios can't do that because they're like, we need the money.
People will see it.
Halloween sells itself.
Yeah.
The name Mike Halloween, Myers. Put Michael Myers right on the poster.
It's never going away.
It's
going
to sell itself.
Yes.
And that sucks.
And we as viewers need to make a stand. We finally need to say, screw Hollywood, and say no more. If you're going to make a Mike Myers movie, make one movie, kind of make it your own, and then move on. Because this whole trilogy thing with Mike Myers, because I guarantee you, I mean, well, Jeepers Creepers went there years ago, but I mean, Freddy Krueger, Jason, like all those, all of a sudden we're going to start getting sequel trilogies and they're all just going to be shit.
Well, there was a Chainsaw Massacre movie that came out early this year, I think, on Netflix. I don't know if you saw it.
Was it not a film that was prior? No, there was a new Chainsaw Massacre.
It was a Chainsaw Massacre film that came out this year on Netflix. And it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It was terrible. And oh, I'm a God. Young person. Yeah. I'm a young guy. And it was the most Gen Z, Gen X movie I've ever seen. Like, it was terrible. It was so bad.
That Texas Chainsaw Massacre, not saying this is the same one, because it's not. But that was my first intro into horror. As far as the
all
genre,
those early
when I was younger
slashers, Friday the 13th, Chainsaw Massacre, Jeepers Creepers, Halloween.
There was one called what, 13 Ghosts?
Never saw that one, but I know what you're
that
talking
one
about.
Also creeped the crap out of me. My cousins made me watch that one, and that was, I legit had nightmares for a solid like 2 weeks.
Nightmare on Elm Street, which to this day, Freddy Krueger, I'm terrified of him.
Yeah. That's creepy.
It's creepy. Yeah.
That's a creepy concept and a very creative concept.
Yeah.
The fact that
you're when you're asleep.
Exactly.
In your dreams.
And can terrify you in your dreams.
Exactly.
And you can't do anything about it. Well, nope. You can, but yeah.
Yeah. So to this day that he terrifies me, but yeah, I have a soft spot for horror. So yeah. So when we were talking about going to see something horror-esque today.
Yeah.
For sure was excited, but I still had my doubts going into this one.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I feel like I always have doubts because, again, I kind of believe that there's, I think more horror than not, as far as films or even television, disappoints because of the lack of substance. And it could be the lack of substance in the plot. It could be the lack of substance in the characters. It could be the lack of substance in the creature or monster or whatever it is that's supposed to, the movie's supposed to be about. And I think there's so many areas that things can go wrong that they can kind of just be overlooked that I feel that's why I don't connect to horror as much as I do with other genres.
Well, I believe that horror and comedy are the hardest, I guess, just genres to push onto people, because it's hard to scare people and it's hard to make people laugh. But
I don't know. I find myself laughing quite often in films.
Yeah, okay, maybe you have poor taste, but it's typically hard to make people laugh and typically hard to scare people. But when you have like an action movie, it's easy to entertain people. Just put a bunch of explosions or do what Michael Bay does. He just puts a bunch of half-naked women in explosions and you can sell a 2.5-hour movie.
Yeah.
It's easy to entertain people. Yeah. All the Transformers movies are
fantastic.
They're terrible. But it's hard to...
I have all of them.
Because horror...
I have all of them on DVD.
Because horror is subjective, as the same as comedy. Not everyone thinks everything is funny. Not everyone thinks the same things are scary.
Yeah.
But you can easily entertain people with half-naked women and explosions.
Yeah.
So I think horror and comedy are the hardest genres to push onto people because it's subjective.
Yeah, I mean, because there's so many different types of comedy, right? So many different types of humor,
subgenres,
subgenres, exactly. And so many, and same for the horror, right? Slasher, thriller, like, you know, the same type, different types there as well. Paranormal, spiritual. You can, I'm sure, go down the list.
Yeah.
And so, you're right. It is an acquired taste. And if you don't get the targeted audience that you need, then a project cannot be successful.
Yeah.
As opposed to, hey, we're going to have, you know, this actor go and legit just take shotguns and blow people's heads off and, you know, jump out of a car off a cliff and it blows up. Like, that's easy. In a sense.
Yeah, I mean, like...
It's not, but it is.
Like, I know you haven't seen it, but Black Adam...
Yeah. I want to see it.
Was it my favorite film?
And it's DC, though.
That has nothing to do with it. I'm tired of people saying that.
No, DC is just... they're bad.
Not all of them.
Warner Brothers... Okay, which one's not bad?
The Batman. The Joker. Okay, Wonder Woman. Okay. Zack Snyder's
Wonder
Justice
Woman was
League.
Okay. I can understand Wonder Woman. The Joker,
the newest Suicide Squad.
The Batman, yes. The newest Suicide Squad after they had to scrap the first one. So I kind of don't even count those because that's not fair.
It's still a movie. Still produced by Warner Brothers.
But it's a cop-out. It's a cop-out saying the first one was really bad. We're going to pretend it doesn't exist. And then we're going to give you another Suicide Squad a year and a half later.
They referenced the other one, though.
Okay. It's a cop-out. I wouldn't include that one. It was a good movie, sure, but it was a cop out.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, they can produce.
But there's
good
not.
Films.
But here's the thing with DC, and I would consider myself more of a DC fan than I am a Marvel fan. I want DC to get their shit together in a sense of longevity.
But they don't need to.
Why not, though?
They don't need to do what Marvel's doing. I think what they need to do is, and they've shown success with it, is what they did with the Joker, what they did with Batman, is
solos.
Just do your
just
solo
do a
films.
Bunch of solos.
And guess what? They have been some of the highest grossing films that DC has ever produced.
Yeah. But then you think about it, okay? And yes, all those characters and superheroes and villains, because DC has amazing villains. Yes, they should all get their solos, and they all should all get their origin stories. But I definitely want to see a Justice League film.
I mean, we got one.
It should not take 4 hours to make a quality Justice League film.
Did you watch it, though?
I did.
Did
it
you
took
like
me
it?
2 days. I didn't watch it all in one sitting.
Neither did I.
Yeah, I watched 2 hours, turned it off. The next day, I watched the second 2 hours. It was good. I'm not going to say that it's not. It was very good. But it shouldn't take you 4 hours to make a quality Justice League film. Just period.
But if that's what it takes, because the reason why is they didn't have as much foundation as Marvel did.
Yeah.
And you don't need it. If you want to make I'll sit down and watch a 6-hour film if it's going to be great.
No.
I will.
No. No. That's a waste of time. Six hours to make a quality film. No.
If someone's like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to produce a film and I'm going to put my heart and soul into it and it's going to be 6 hours long. And I was like, okay, I hope it's good. Now, if I sit down and I can watch a 6-hour film, like, I'll watch it if it's going to be good. I'll commit my time to it. Anything for a good piece of film.
I'm not going to say I wouldn't commit my time to it, but you're telling me something you couldn't tell something in 6 hours. You couldn't tell the same story that you told in 6 hours in 2.5.
Yeah, it's the same reason that Joss Whedon's Justice League was terrible because he cut 2 hours of Zack Snyder's stuff out. And Zack Snyder's like, no, look, this is what I wanted to do. And he put his 4 hours in and then it was great.
Yeah, but no, it's just not, no. Okay, we might get to that point later on in the future where people start releasing 4-hour long movies. But right now, you know, people are not going to go to the theater to watch a 4-hour long movie.
No, they're not. And look, that's what sucks is that Hollywood at the end of the day is a business.
Yes.
And you need people, you need foot traffic. And majority of people will not sit down and watch a 4-hour long film.
Why not make it two parts then? Why not just say, you know, Justice League, whatever, call it a name, right? And then do the 2 hours, and then
you
release
can.
In like 6 months the second part.
You can. And I think like Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah,
definitely a two-parter.
Correct,
because they originally were called Infinity War Part 1 and 2.
Yeah,
definitely two parts because they're two totally different stories. Mm-hmm. If you take Zack Snyder's Justice League, which are broken up into like small acts, if you watch the film, has no reason to be split up into two films because it's one cohesive story. So if you split it up, it's just going to be choppy. But like I said, at the end of the day, it's a business and it sucks mm-hmm. because if you have a director or a studio or whatever that has like a vision and it's very out there, the studios will tell them no because they're like, it's not going to make money.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. But kind of looping it back around to horror.
I can tell you who didn't have a vision. Daniel Stamm, who was the director of this film.
Pray for the devil.
Or I like to call it, pray for my enjoyment while watching this film.
Yikes. 5.2 out of 10 IMBD, 17% Rotten Tomatoes.
Yep.
What was it before we went to go see the movie?
70%.
It was still 17. Okay.
Yeah. I thought with 18 reviews, I don't know if it's changed. It has, is it 17%? 18 reviews still.
Here's the thing, though, that I see in front of my screen. 85% of people, as far as Google users are concerned, liked this film. I can see why people like this film, because I did not think it was that bad.
Neither did I, honestly. Like, I'll say this. It was better than I expected. But that's also saying that if I put sprinkles on dog shit, it's going to taste better than regular dog shit. But at the end of the day,
oh my God,
it's still dog shit.
Man, I was not expecting you to say that. I mean, I was expecting you to not like the film, but you just said that you liked it, unless that's total bullshit.
No, I said it was better than I expected.
Better than you expected. But your expectations were low.
Yes, and I did tell you this before we went in. I was like, I'm hoping that since my expectations are so low, that I'll be a little bit impressed. And at some parts, I were. Like, obviously, I don't want to get into spoilers or anything, but there were a few scenes. Like, obviously, this is an exorcism movie. So, like, in some of the exorcism scenes were pretty entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the ones towards the end of the film.
Yeah.
With like, the guy's sister.
Mm-hmm.
That one was pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
But all in all, this was a snooze fest of a movie. Mm. Like, I just could not keep my attention.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it didn't even give itself time to marinate. Like, I like build up in films, and some of these things would introduce something. So, okay, they're going to build on this 5 minutes later. Then they execute whatever the thought was 5 minutes later. Like, the twist in the film. When I literally looked at you in the movie, I was like, called that shit.
Yeah.
I was like,
I should have put that together, and I didn't. But when you leaned over to me and you were like, I called that, I was like, okay, yeah, I could understand why someone would call that. Yeah. So you're telling me that there's more buildup in Barbarian than there is in Pray for the Devil? We watched this film last night, and it's been fresh on my mind.
Yes.
I really think Barbarian was more of a shit show than Pray for the Devil. Like,
it was
100%.
It was a better film than Pray for the Devil.
What do you mean by that, though?
It was a better. I'm a sucker for good cinematography. I'm a sucker for good direction. I'm a sucker for good storytelling.
What's the story? There was no story, though, there.
Yeah.
Okay. There really was no story.
I was going to say we were about an hour into this film. I guess I was wrong. This film was an hour and a half, an hour 33. Let's take
Pray for the Devil.
Let's take maybe 10 minutes away for credits.
Okay.
So an hour 20 minutes.
Okay.
This movie felt 2 hours long. And honestly, we were watching the film and I was like, this movie could have been like 15 minutes shorter, but that would be ridiculous because then we'd be watching an hour and 10 minute movie.
We'd be watching a Netflix
episode. We'd be watching a Stranger Things episode.
I mean, honestly, I didn't feel like it was that long. I didn't know what the runtime was on the film. I didn't really pay attention to that. But I mean, I didn't feel like it was that long. It's not the fact that I was completely entertained throughout the entire time. I can understand that there were some places where I kind of lost focus and lost, mm-hmm. you know, my the entertainment of the film. But I really just kind of based off of some of the things that I've watched in the recent weeks from like a horror perspective, I think this probably ranks a little bit up there, in my personal opinion.
Okay.
Just from what was the one that Gabe and I watched the other day? Oh, Smile. It was a new film. Smile.
Yes.
We've talked about this a little bit, but let's talk about it right now.
Okay.
Smile.
Yes.
Was arguably, I think, probably arguably the best horror thriller film of the season up to this point.
I respect that. Yes. I would say The Black Phone would probably go above that.
Black Phone.
Yeah, The Black Phone.
Phone. Oh, that's the one with they're in the basement.
I'm
the
blanking
kids,
on his name too.
Ethan Hawke. There you go. Deacon. I don't know why I said Deacon.
So Ethan, I would say that one's more of a thriller than it is a horror movie, but I would probably put that a little bit above Smile.
Actually, I haven't watched that one, but I need to go watch that one now.
That
That's
one is
on my list.
That one's really good.
Yeah.
It's actually based off of a short story written by Stephen King's son.
That's interesting.
Yeah, has a lot backing it up.
Like father, like son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that one's really good. But honestly, yeah, Smile, I was really blown away by.
Mm.
And honestly, when I was describing it to other people, I felt like maybe I was overhyping it because whenever I see just a good horror film or like a decent one, I get excited because like some of them aren't that good.
Yeah.
But I have numbers pulled up on my phone.
Okay.
Smile has been out. It came out on September 30th, last day of September, right before October started.
Okay.
Has grossed $137.5 million with a $17 million budget.
Nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
And it had a $22 million opening weekend, which is really good.
Yeah.
So far, Pray for the Devil, I know this is Saturday, has made about $2 million.
Yeah, there's no way they're going to catch up.
And unfortunately, it's going to get just left in the dust by Black Panther, which comes out in 2 weeks.
That's true. People are looking forward to going to that film. So it's going to be...
Yeah, it's just going to be...
essentially be the Terrifier 2. Because Terrifier 2 really, I mean, ever since its release, it only gets like two showtimes like over the weekends.
And the thing that sucks about that is, which honestly, I would have rather seen that than this.
I agree with you.
But this had earlier showtimes.
Yeah.
And
we didn't want to be here late, you know?
Yeah. But it is an indie film. It had a low budget. It didn't have major studios producing it. So unfortunately, theaters aren't going to flood it with showtimes. That sucks.
Yeah. But Terrifier 3, no, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Is going to be everywhere.
It's gonna go nationwide. Yeah. No, I mean, what was the budget on this film?
I tried looking for it. They won't tell us because...
I think it's going to flop.
Yeah, because I wouldn't be surprised if they spent $100 million on this movie.
the look of the possessions and things of sort, and there were spots and times where it was a little overboard, but I thought they did a pretty good job.
There's one scene in the film, and like I said, I'm a sucker for good cinematography.
Yeah.
It's towards the end of the film.
And we'll get into we'll talk about it a little bit more here in our spoilers. So go ahead. We're almost at our 30-minute mark, so
It's towards the end. Obviously, when they're getting into the third act, it's when the main character and I guess like I don't know Dante. I don't know his name.
Father Dante
are about to go into the dungeon, whatever. Mm-hmm. And our main character is in like this black cloak, standing outside of I think the church, and there's like an ill lit light standing above the doorway, and it's just a shot of her standing there. And I think it's kind of zooming in a little bit. And I said to myself, I was like, oh, that's a cool shot. I was like, that's the shot that stuck with me out of everything. It's just her standing there in the dark. That was a cool shot.
Yeah.
Which goes to say, if that's the one thing I'm taking away from this film, when there's people bending over backwards and flying across the room and crawling on walls, there's something wrong here.
Yeah. I mean,
it feels like a film. If I was in middle school,
yeah,
right? If I was in middle school or high school, okay, and I saw the trailer for this film, I'd be like, me and my friends got to go see that. Because it, and that's immediately, I saw this film, was like, I bet my sister's going to want to go see it. Because she's 15 years old, she's in high school, and I took her to go see Smile. This trailer came out, and she's like, oh, I want to go see that.
Yeah.
I was like, I knew it, I called it. Because it's just like, it just looks like one of those just cash, not even cash grab, just like, here, let's make a possession film and we'll just...
Yeah, yeah, like the whole angels there and demons, yeah, and God. And, yeah, yeah. I mean, they're all typically the same, right? I mean, again, it's the whole... Every year, it's you only, you know, there's subgenres, but you're gonna choose one of those subgenres and you're gonna make another film. I think it was a cool concept for it to kind of be aligned with this whole, you know, exorcism schooling and, you know, part of the Catholic faith or part of the Catholic, you know, religion. And there's an, you know, there's actual, you know, priests and that go to school to learn about exorcism.
I thought that was different. Yeah. I thought that was cool. It wasn't just like your typical, you live in a house somewhere far away and there's a demon there. But yeah, there's these people study this. It was in Massachusetts is where this was.
Yeah.
I think it was in Boston. And this is a school where people go and train for like how to perform exorcisms and like work with people. And of course she's a female and she's not allowed to practice, and that concept is interesting.
Yeah.
I want to say too, she was way too good looking to
to be a nun. I guess we can agree on that point.
She was way too good looking to be a nun.
I honestly did that thought also came across my mind when we were in the movie. We learn eventually how she becomes a nun because of a certain situation.
Yeah.
And so we may get into that or not, but yes, that thought also came across my mind when I was watching this film. I was just like, she's gorgeous.
Yeah. I was like, come on.
But yeah. So, okay. Kind of wrapping up, essentially general thoughts on the film.
Yeah.
We haven't really gotten into many spoilers. I mean, no. Kind of more of a gist of what the film's about. And
yeah,
if you watch the trailer, you get it all.
Yeah.
You know what the film's going to be about. We haven't given you any information that you wouldn't see in the trailer.
No.
Overall,
except for the fact that the main character is a baddie.
Yes,
all I gotta say.
Yeah, true. But you see her in the trailer, so yeah, you'll understand what we're saying. Overall, on the film, 1 out of 10, where are you at?
4.
4?
Yeah.
Yikes.
I'm being generous.
That's a yikes. Okay, I mean, I knew you were going to come in low. That wasn't a surprise.
If you come in at anything higher than a 5.5, if anything higher than a 6, I'm going to be very upset.
I was going to say 5.5.
Okay.
Going to say this film is not great. It's not it's not a award-winning film by any means.
You know the one word I would use to describe this film?
There.
Forgettable.
Oh, true. True. Yeah. I could agree with you on that.
I'm going to drive home today and I'm going to be like, what was that girl's name? I'll remember her name. I'm just kidding. I'll remember her name.
Sister Anne.
Sister Anne. But everything else I will not remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say 5.5.
Okay.
And it's not... It's a film that if you're looking for something for the season, fine. Watch it. Kind of get through it and then move on to the next one.
If you want to take a good nap and you don't have anywhere else to go, go to the theater. Pay $10 for a ticket and just curl up and take a nap right there in the theater.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not, you know, I wouldn't rush to the theater.
No.
I would wait on this film.
I would say if you're in the mood, you haven't seen anything really in the spooky season, go see Smile.
100%.
Go see Smile. If you have an HBO Max subscription, watch Barbarian.
No.
But...
Save yourself an hour and a half. Do not watch Barbarian.
If you have a subscription, watch it. It's free.
Actually, no.
It's not free,
Barbarian. Watch Barbarian and then text me. Text me your thoughts on Barbarian and tell me if I'm off. Go watch Barbarian and then wait for Pray for the Devil to come out on whatever platform. Watch Pray for the Devil.
It's going
to
come out on streaming in 2 weeks.
And then text me which one was better. Because Barbarian, for me, I'm at a 4.
Oh, my God.
I'm completely flipped on you right now. We're opposite of each other. I think Barbarian was worse in this film. You think it was better. I'd strongly disagree on that. It didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I understand the creativity of it and where they were trying to go.
We also watched Barbarian pretty late.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
We started it. Yeah, it was late. But go watch it. Go Barbarian, HBO Max. Pray for the Devil's out in theaters. Wait a couple weeks. It'll be out on a streaming platform.
It's not going to last long.
Smile is in theaters. Go see Smile if you haven't seen it. That's a phenomenal film.
Yes.
And that is Pray for the Devil as far as the just sort of our general thoughts on the film. So we hope that you enjoyed it. We don't want to, we're fixing to get into some spoilers, and we hope that you guys stick around and continue to listen. If you've seen the movie, great. If you haven't and you just want to know the spoilers because you're weird like Gabe, my little brother, he likes to know about things before going and spending his time doing them.
Then or you don't bother around. Paying the $10 for a ticket and you just want to hear it right here. That's fine.
If you want to hear about it. But we're going to get into it just for a little bit and talk about it a little bit more in spoilers. So we really appreciate you being here and checking out our newest episode. Again, this is Reel It In. I'm your host, Nick Sanchez. And this is Pray for the Devil. And we are going to get into some spoilers. Okay, spoilers. Let's talk about this film a little bit more in depth. We've already talked about Sister Anne.
Yep.
How she's a smoke show.
Yep.
We've talked about Father Dante. Well, we've just mentioned his name.
Yeah,
we haven't really talked about Father Dante.
No, there's not much to say. He's just there. He has a sister.
He has a sister.
That's it.
Who's possessed. Well, that he says is possessed, and then they go to find out that she really is truly possessed. And then there's a head father. I forgot what his name was.
Couldn't tell you.
Get forgettable.
Yep.
And then a head sister. Basically, the Mother Teresa of nuns.
Couldn't tell you who she was either.
Couldn't tell you either one of them. Then there was a cardinal, and I couldn't tell you his name.
Who?
The cardinal. The guy above. The dude with the red little Jewish hat.
I don't know who that is.
I'm Catholic. I should know what this terminology is.
I thought you were talking about a bird.
They're called cardinals. That's like the next step.
Okay.
Well, no. It's like it's priests and then bishops and then cardinals.
And then mockingbird after that?
Maybe. I don't know. No, I think cardinals is like the high, and then it's the pope.
Okay, and then where's Blue Jay coming to this?
I no idea.
No, okay,
no clue. All right. It could be the nuns, maybe.
Probably, maybe.
Go by Blue Jays.
Blue Jay Ann.
Yeah, Blue Jay Ann. Sister Ann is at a school for exorcism.
Yes,
and we kind of witness in this film that she has somewhat of a weird connection with these patients. And we really only see that primarily in one specific situation, and it's with this 10-year-old girl.
Yeah.
You called it.
Yep.
Middle of the movie. It was where the twist, quote-unquote, came.
Because, and that's my other problem with this film, is that we discover that she had gotten pregnant at like 15 years old at like a party. She got really messed up and doesn't know who the father is and had given the baby away to like an adoption agency. And we find that out. I don't even know how to, like, my concept of time is blurred on this film because this film felt so much longer than it was. I think maybe halfway through the film we find this out, a little more than halfway.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they said that, I was like, okay, Natalie, who is the 10-year-old girl, the main possessed girl, you see her in the trailer crawling on the walls and stuff. I was like, that's her daughter. I was like, I'm going to call it right now. And why they didn't start the movie off with that?
With the party of her getting pregnant?
No, not that. No. Maybe just her giving the baby up.
Got it. maybe to kind of, well, okay, so it's not so close together, and you're just
once
like,
again, yeah, yeah. I like build up. Yeah. I like building on things, and so why they didn't start the movie off with that? But then again, she has this weird relationship with her mom that keep flashing back to because her mom was possessed apparently, and she's like scarred from her trauma with her mom, so they started off with that instead.
Yeah,
which I get it. I guess
I thought the twist was going to be that somehow, some way, I'm still trying to figure out what I was expecting with this film. I thought the twist was going to be her mom didn't commit suicide, but she killed her mom. And somehow that trauma, that's where the trauma was coming from, was because like she couldn't handle it anymore. And she basically committed this major sin of killing her mom.
Speaking of sins, let's talk about this right now. They are in a school. And, like, they love God more than food, okay? And here in this school, they practice exorcisms, and they are all about Jesus. They lie so much in this movie. And they are drinking wine. Is that
Catholics can drink.
Can you?
Yes, that's not...
Okay, you can't lie, but you can get wasted.
No, you can't lie, but you can get... Yeah, you can get shit-faced.
Okay.
That's part of it.
They lie through their teeth in this movie. To the nuns, to the sisters.
Yeah.
Or to the mothers, whatever.
It's for a good cause. I feel like they have so, a legit reason.
So we can lie if it's for a good cause?
I think we're getting into a different kind of conversation right now. I think that there are such things as good lies and bad lies. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I agree. I believe in that.
Okay, whatever.
Look, they had to, because one, it's about Sister Anne and her connection with ultimately the devil, which I called. I did say that I don't think from the trailer it's her special connection to God. I think it's some way her special connection to the devil, which they don't actually mention.
Because I don't think that's the case. It's just a special, her mom just was possessed, that's coincidence. And then she has a special connection with Natalie. But why is
the devil? Because like then at the end of the film, let's just get to the ending,
yeah,
where she's in a taxi cab and she's going to go to the Vatican.
Yeah,
and she sees this old woman on the street and she's staring at her.
I liked that part up until the guy jumps in the camera at the very end. That part was stupid.
Oh, the final shot. Jump scare?
Yeah, because she was like, you have the old lady standing out at the window, and then you have the cab driver who's in the back seat with her, and she was like pinned or cornered. And so she just pulls out her like cross, and I was like, please don't end it here. Like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
But like when she's like, the old lady is in the crowd just standing and looking at her, I was like, that's cool. And then you have like the man saying like her name.
Yeah.
Saying her name, right?
Yeah,
Anne,
yeah. But I think that was the devil.
Well, yeah, because
he can kind of possess anyone.
The head father, whatever, he's like, oh, you now know the devil, but the devil also knows you.
Correct. And he has the capability of basically just like entering people's bodies.
Yeah.
Because of his power. So, so ending it that way, I also was confused because I was like, we didn't really. And that's kind of why I wanted them to kind of do more of a storyline with Anne and a connection between the devil, like how she actually has that connection. Because if we just say, oh, it's because of her mom, there really wasn't anything there for her to be connected to the devil.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When I was about halfway through the film or whatever point that was, I was like, I don't really know what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know what's going on. Like she's there. She wants to perform exorcisms. There's this weird little girl that she somehow is... like she likes, she has a connection with.
Yeah. I mean, I could understand that maybe like her mom like was pregnant with her and was going through some shit and like made a promise to the devil to like give up her child, and that's her connection to the devil. Like, but they don't do anything like that.
The fact that we have to sit here and think of ways of why she has a connection, it just wasn't explained well.
No, it wasn't.
And like I said, if they would have started off the film with her giving up her child,
mm-hmm.
then throughout the entire film, she's having this connection with this girl, whatever, then we can all speculate, oh, that's probably her daughter.
Yeah.
But we don't find that out until like 3/4 of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually right towards the end of the movie.
Yeah,
we find
it's like
out.
Boom, I gave away my daughter. Boom, this is the
this
rosary.
Is my daughter.
This is
yeah.
the rosary I wrapped her in. Yeah. And then boom, this is my daughter. Like,
yeah.
It happened probably within not even a 10 minute span.
Yeah.
And so
because they help his sister. After that, they're up on the balcony talking about their past. Then right after that, they go back to the church.
They don't even help his sister, by the way.
No, they don't. and then they get busted for performing an exorcism without permission. Mm-hmm. She goes back with the sisters. And all these decisions, they're executed so fast. And yeah. It's like, there's no like build up to it. They don't let us dwell on it at all. Mm-hmm. It's just like, boom, 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 like yeah. just down the line. Like,
but you kind of have to have that because it's an hour and a half.
Then make the movie longer.
I know, but it already felt long.
You know? It did. Then make it more entertaining.
Make it more entertaining.
This is a snooze fest of a movie.
And that's why our ratings were so low. But it's just like, again, it's kind of if you're going to keep doing these types of films, which fall within the same category, right? We're going to have more spiritual films, possession films, exorcism films. You got to be creative with it and make it your own. And I felt like they had something here with the fact that they started out with the exorcism school. Okay, women and nuns traditionally are not there for performing exorcisms. They're more nurse and patient care, and
yeah,
they kind of take on that like motherly nurturing role. And the fact that, okay, the main character is going to be a nun. She's going to have some sort of, you know, power over demons. Where you have to get it nailed down is how. How does she have that power over demons? And that does not get answered in this film.
And then which you see this in the trailer, she gets possessed. It's in the trailer. Her, mm-hmm. The eyes roll back in her head or whatever. And then she gets cured just from thinking about her mom?
Yeah, that was weird. She was thinking, well, okay, so throughout the film,
we hear
whispers.
No, not throughout the film.
Oh.
Throughout the first 30 minutes of the film.
True.
We hear noise, and they just abandon it. That's yeah. another thing. I hate inconsistencies.
That's true.
And they didn't keep it consistent.
Yeah.
And then she was kind of being haunted, but why?
That's true.
Why? We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
She has some connection with the devil.
Somehow there are these people watching her.
Yeah.
And
like the old man is humming the tune that her mom used to sing to her or hum.
And I'm assuming that's the devil. I'm just assuming that's the devil.
But why?
I don't know. But they don't answer it.
Yeah.
They're just there. Like he's humming the tune. Then there's the girl who comes to her, the kid, Natalie, who comes to her door, and then she opens it, and then she's like right around the corner.
Yeah.
She doesn't see her. And then she has the time where she's washing her face in her room.
And there's, it looks like a boy.
Like a boy. Or I thought it was her mom. I thought it was like, because it was very shadowy.
Could have been, yeah.
So I thought it was like the outline of her mom.
Because her mom has short hair. It could have been a
yeah.
boy. I thought it was a boy though.
And so like you have all of these situations where they're like watching her, but you don't know if it's just somebody that's possessed. You don't know if it's the devil. Like, you don't know if it's her mom. You know, and so it's just like,
and why? We don't right. know. There's
and
no
then the whispers,
connection.
Like you said, like the she hears these whispers, and it's not until the end of the movie that I think she kind of
realizes
those
that whispers, they piled on really fast, and they happened all within like 10 minutes, and then we never hear them again.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's where the inconsistency is,
yeah.
is that the whispers happen, but they don't happen throughout the whole film. And you're right. I shouldn't have used that term. But it's not until that moment where she's possessed and she's by that fountain mm-hmm. that she kind of puts it together like, oh, those whispers were my mother like fighting and like telling me to
like
kind of
trying to help,
like trying to help me. And then that kind of puts her back into the fight mode of fighting this demon that is within her. They're fighting within her. And she basically like kills it by dunking herself into that water, into the holy water fountain. I thought that concept was cool. The fact that she was kind of fighting this demon within her own body. I don't know. I kind of wrapping it all together with the whispers and then it was kind of cliche and it was kind of expected. And honestly, I would have rather her die.
Yeah.
I would have rather her fall into the fountain. The demon dies, but then she doesn't survive.
Yeah, because maybe she is, the devil wants her for some reason.
Yeah.
We still don't know why. And then she hugs her daughter in the end. Basically transfers to her. And then in order to save her daughter and get away from this, she just dies. She kills herself.
I would have liked that ending better.
That would have been better. It wouldn't have saved this movie, but it would have been better.
Yeah. It might have made a 5.5, a 5.7. 0.2 points more.
Yeah, it would have given it a little bit more.
But yeah, I just... There's not much to say about this film.
No, you know why? Because nothing happens.
It really... I mean, I guess, just kind of thinking back on it, you watch the trailer and you've watched the film.
Yeah, kind of. And like, there's a few jump scares in here.
I'll tell you what. The jump scares, because we did talk about this too. The jump scares we expected.
Yes. Because they literally play it up. And I was like, here it comes.
They do the same thing for each jump scare. The music kind of gets loud and then it cuts off and then boom.
Yeah.
Jump scare. So I was calling the jump scares. I'm just naturally a jumper in general. So I did jump still on the jump scares, but I knew they were coming. With Smile, I did not know when they were coming, and I loved it. And that's why they did a phenomenal job on that. But with this one, they were very predictable. They weren't really scary. It was just like, it's a possession, you know, the film.
And this movie is PG-13.
True. I think they could have thrown a few more curse words in there. It'd be nice to hear a father say the F-bomb.
Like, if you have a possession movie with demons...
You're crapping yourself.
But it's...
There's for sure some defecation happening.
Yeah, and you have it's PG-13.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Come on. Like, the movie...
You're telling me that a father is not, like, screaming shit and fuck and all this other stuff
The Conjuring in front of films, a demon? The Conjuring films, which are paranormal films... from what I know, at least in the first two, because the third one I didn't like that much. It's not gory.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cuss words. There's no nudity. But they're rated R, just for how scary they are.
Yeah.
So.
I'm surprised. Well, other than the ambulance scene with.
Yeah.
Catherine.
Yeah.
I'm surprised more people didn't die in this film.
Besides that one scene. Oh, there was one guy at the end.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they didn't show the sister killing herself. They showed the mom, but she was just laying there.
It's PG-13.
I know. That's wild. I feel like these types of films should just be rated R. And then you just go for it. If you're going to lack in in story, then at least give us some like limbs being torn off.
Something. So,
they did give us the bone cracking and the typical exorcism, people floating in the air and
bending backwards.
Yeah. Crawling up walls. Okay, I get it. But give me some of that powerful stuff that's like, oh, this demon, I'm going to rip your hand off, or I'm going to like... claw you and give you giant gash on your chest or something, or rip out your throat. Like, I don't know. I'm not keen on how exorcisms and demons and all that stuff works, but I would think that they could still touch you, right?
I'm not a scientist.
I don't know how that stuff works, but like, I know the whole the cross and all that stuff, right? But if they say dropped the cross, could they not just like go up and go for your jugular? I feel like they could.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, this movie is boring. It's forgettable. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Definitely not the best.
No, and I'm not going to remember it by tomorrow.
Damn. I mean, I will, but I will remember it for being just a mediocre film.
Yeah.
At best. Not even.
Yeah. Like, my sister's still going to want to go see it, and...
Your sister still wants to see it with you?
No, I'm not going to go see it again.
Oh, yeah.
Hell no. I'm not going to pay to see this again. I told her last night I was going to go see it, and she was like, oh, man, just throwing it a hissy fit. And I was like, yeah, I don't even think it's going to be that good.
Yeah.
Well, and
you can confirm that now.
Yeah, she's not gonna listen to me though. So, but yeah, it's forgettable. It's boring. If you haven't seen anything, go see Smile instead.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Definitely agree. I mean, personally, I don't have anything else to say about this film. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about on this film?
No. I think we've said it all.
Yeah, I mean,
don't think there's any much more. Yeah, to say.
There's not a whole lot of like CGI work going on here. The music is unforgettable. I mean, just, like you said, everything about this film is forgettable.
Yeah.
If this is something that intrigues you, I don't think you will be genuinely disappointed. Like what you expect, I feel like, is what you're gonna get for this film. Honestly, I don't think if this is some kind of up your alley of what you're wanting to see, then I do not think you will be tragically disappointed. It's just going to be another typical film that your expectation is probably pretty valid for.
Yeah.
So, let's end spoilers there.
Yeah.
Well, let's do one more quick segment on what's to come. For the remainder of the year and what we're excited for.
Okay.
So we'll go and do some recommendations maybe, or some highlights on films or television shows that we're expecting to possibly see throughout the end of the year.
Okay.
But we do want to say thank you for everybody for being here. Again, Reel It In. I'm your host, Nick Sanchez. This is my guest host for this episode, and maybe for future episodes, who knows? We'll see. But this is Brandon Shaw. Brandon, thank you for being here. But we're going to go ahead and get into some recommendations for us, but also for you guys on what's to come for throughout the rest of the calendar year, because there are a few films that I'm super stoked about, and I know Brandon's super stoked about. So we'll get into that. So let's get into some recommendations. Okay, Brandon. One of the first ones that I want to talk about for films is one that kind of re-energized me in film, so to speak. That kind of helped me push to start doing podcasting again because I hadn't done it in a while.
Okay,
and that is Violent Night.
Oh yes,
and it's a thriller.
Yes,
that's coming out December 2nd this year.
Mm-hmm.
With our good friend,
David Harper,
who plays, Stranger Things,
Hopper. He was the Red Guardian, Black Widow.
Yes.
Yeah.
So an amazing actor.
Yeah.
And, he plays Santa Claus.
Yes.
In this action thriller.
Yes.
Coming out December 2nd. If you haven't seen the trailer for this film, first things first, go watch it.
Yes.
Violent Night.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Santa Claus in an action thriller. He's killing fools.
Yes. This family is celebrating Christmas and they're like really wealthy, and these people, like a mob, comes in and is wanting to rob them right when Santa Claus comes and delivers presents, and basically finds out that these people robbing the place are on his naughty list. And so he just has to like go through and kick their ass. And I'm like, I'm totally here for it.
How ridiculous is that?
I want to know.
How awesome and original is it? I mean, that's what got me excited.
I want to know what that pitch meeting was like.
Oh,
somebody
my God.
Sat down and was like, look, we have a movie idea. We want David Harbour to play Santa Claus. And I bet the execs are like, what? David Harbour?
Yeah.
Like, and he's going to kick people's ass.
Yes.
And I want to be in that pitch meeting.
It's
whenever
not going to be a typical Santa Claus December movie. He's
no,
going to
be
wielding sharp candy canes, stabbing people in the eye.
Tell me one thing.
Throwing grenades.
Tell me you've never licked a candy cane to a shank and be like, I wonder if I can stab someone.
Absolutely. Everybody's done that.
Yes.
100%.
And now we're going to see David Harbour do it.
Do it on a big screen TV. I anticipate this film going to be an amazing experience.
It looks like a good time.
It's going to be fun. And
it looks fun. Yeah.
And that's what I miss, I think, mostly in film, is that it's fun. And that when I saw this trailer for the first time, I was so stoked. I showed it to my brothers. Gabe thought he was all in. Ruben was kind of wishy-washy on it, but I'm super 100% going to watch this film, going to watch this movie.
I'm sold. I'm there.
And it's just going to be a good time.
Yeah.
So that's December 2nd, 2022. Violent Night. Go check it out. The other one, which comes out in 2 weeks, which we are super stoked about, which is I think if you're a Marvel fan, you're going to be stoked about, is Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
Yes.
2 weeks coming out.
Yes, in, November 11th.
November 11th. First things first, we all know the situation with Black Panther.
Yes.
Right. May he rest in peace.
Yes, of course.
And so the question is, who's going to succeed him? Who's going to be Black Panther?
Yeah.
Is there going to be a Black Panther? I know all those questions were starting to stir, right? Yeah. What is
going
to happen?
From the trailer, it looks like there's obviously going to be.
There's obviously going to be a Black Panther. We have a pretty good idea of who's going to take the mantle of Black Panther.
Could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I know who it is.
But how, like, my first question is how big of a fan of Black Panther are you?
Well, to be honest, the first time I ever heard of Black Panther was I forgot the name of the game. There's a game. It's like a Mortal Kombat-esque game, but with Marvel. I think it's like Strike Force or something.
Okay.
And you can like unlock characters and like you go through like different arenas and fight people. And I unlocked Black Panther. Man, this was in like, I don't know, before Black Panther was even a thought at Marvel Studios. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, he's cool. And the first thought, I was like, oh, he reminds me of Batman. First thought. And I did a little bit of research on him, but that was it. And then I found out he was going to get his own movie. And
yeah,
I knew little to nothing about him, but I mean, I enjoyed the movie. I really liked it. It's tragic to know what happened.
Yeah.
But the trailers that this movie has been putting out.
Yes.
Is powerful.
Very powerful. And it really sets a tone that I think Marvel is. So Marvel, I think traditionally with just all the works that they've been doing from Disney Plus and everything, you know, kind of leading up to this film, have been very sort of laid back, very comedic, very lighthearted. I think this film is going to put us back into a mode of seriousness that I think will kind of level the playing field for what Marvel wants to do down the road with their phase.
Yeah.
And, because I really do hope that once we start getting closer to some of these bigger works, and I know, like, you know, the Avengers, like the Secret Wars and all that other stuff is coming down the road in 2024 or 2025. You know, shit's supposed to go down there. So it's just like trying to set us back on a path. I like the lightheartedness. I like the comedic aspect of Marvel, right? But I do also like the seriousness at the times when it needs to be serious. And I really think Black Panther is going to really bring it, is going to bring that heart throb, like that pounding in your chest vibe. And I'm 100% behind it. And I'm super stoked for this film. So definitely going to be checking that out. November 11th, in 2 weeks, it'll be out in theaters. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, go look at your local theater now, because it's very likely that there will not be there.
I know.
When, the closer that you get there. So go check it out. November 11th in 2 weeks, Black Panther. The last film that I want to kind of talk about that's coming out here soon, well, not soon, more so later November, is a film that they've been sort of heavily marketing, I would say, is the a new comedy coming out called The Menu. And you probably saw this trailer for the first time today.
I don't think
today.
It's a comedy.
It's listed as a comedy.
Oh, really? Yeah. You know what? I think it's a satire.
Could be.
Yeah, like the movie The Hunt. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. Yeah. That was a satire. So, that one looks... It's not on my radar, but it looks interesting.
It does look interesting, and it's kind of one of those things that it's just like... It's one of those films that, if there's nothing else out that weekend, that it could be just a quality, entertaining film to go watch. There's a lot of well-known actors and actresses within this film, mainly starring Nicholas Hoult. So it's going to be a pretty cool, you know, kind of familiar faces, different kind of concept. Well, it's kind of similar, like you say, like The Hunt and stuff like that, but it's going to be, different. It's kind of revolved around food, and he's a chef, and you know, these I'm assuming they're all rich people that go to have this sort of experience with this secret, you know, sort of space or island or whatever, and it turns out to be something that they were not expecting. So it does look interesting, And it just says here on sort of the cusp, if you haven't watched it, again, the menu. But it's a couple travels to a coastal island to eat at an exclusive restaurant. So it is an exclusive restaurant where chef Ralph Fiennes, I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name, but he's also familiar. He's a familiar face if you see the trailer. Has prepared a lavish menu with some shocking surprises. And so I'm assuming it's gonna like the satire comedy, but I also think it's probably a little bit of a thriller as well, because I think some I'm anticipating some people probably dying.
Oh, yeah, for
and,
sure.
And you know, stuff like that. And so we'll, it's just interesting. It's different. And kind of just maybe a, perhaps just a weekend movie if you're wanting to go out and check out a movie that weekend. But that comes out Friday, November 18th. So the weekend before. Yeah.
The weekend after.
I was going to say the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. I thought you
the weekend Panther. After yeah, yeah. Black Panther. Mm. But yeah, so I mean, that's primarily it as far as like films that are sort of coming out, you know, to theater. There's obviously a lot of projects and stuff that you get on streaming, which I haven't really looked into, but I know there's some major projects coming out on several platforms for the duration of the year. But I'm sure maybe in next episodes we'll have more more things to share. But those are films that I think are, I'm looking forward to possibly seeing. For sure, Black Panther, and for sure, Violent Night, and then maybe The Menu. But is there anything that you wanted to watch?
Yeah, there's one that I'm surprised wasn't on your list. Was Avatar that comes out in December.
Holy crap, that's right.
Yeah.
That's late in December, though, right? Like,
I think it comes out right... me and Gabe have very close birthdays. I think yeah. In between those. I think it's like the 16th. It might be later than that. Oh, and then Shazam. Shazam
Fury
comes
of
out.
The Gods.
Yeah, that comes out. It may have gotten pushed back. Actually,
I think
wrong.
It got pushed back. It could have gotten pushed back. Avatar got pushed back too, because it's not showing up on the coming soon for movies. At least at Santikos.
Avatar 2 comes out December 16th.
I'm not seeing it on my list here. I see. You would think Santikos definitely has Avatar on the list. I don't see it. Maybe it's just the app.
Shazam didn't get pushed back.
Yeah, maybe they just haven't updated the app yet. But I don't see it here. But yeah, Avatar. I mean, yeah, obviously. So they re-released Avatar, the first one.
Uh huh.
Theatrical release, and I think didn't it make like another $1 billion.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, like how? Because I mean, for me, that movie came out in 2009, I think 2008. Yeah, and I was like 9 or 10 years old when that came out. Mm-hmm. And my parents weren't taking me to the movies. So for some people, they probably didn't get the opportunity to see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
So that's true. They wanted to go see it on the big screen for the first time.
That's true. I didn't even think about that.
Another movie that I want to see that has been getting a lot of buzz on Twitter and is The Whale with Brendan Fraser.
I've heard of Sadie Sink. Wait, was it a bodysuit or he actually gained the weight to play the whale?
I think it was a bodysuit.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's a bigger guy.
Yeah.
He's a bigger guy now. Yeah. But I've been seeing so much by Darren Aronofsky directed it, and it's getting tons of buzz and got like a 12-minute, 16-minute standing ovation when they released it at like some short film festival. And like Fraser was like breaking into tears, and everyone apparently is like,
wow. Is there a trailer for this film?
No, I don't think so. But it comes out December 9th.
Wow. Okay. I'll have to take a look at it.
I don't even really know what it's about.
Well, I think I saw it on here. Hold on. Let me see.
But it's getting a tons of talks, and everyone as of right now just wants to see Brendan Fraser succeed.
Succeed. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Everybody's on the Brendan Fraser train.
Yeah. And I mean, George of the Jungle. I mean, I used to watch that movie all the time growing up.
Yeah, I mean, Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Did you ever watch that? Oh, yeah, Looney Tunes back in action, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I had that on DVD.
Yeah. What else was he in? George of the Jungle? Mummy. Yeah, the Mummy.
He was a huge franchise. One of the biggest action stars of his time, and then some stuff went down. And
That's a shame. Yeah, that film is not on here either, so...
When I looked it up, it was there.
There are some, indie film... theaters,
yeah.
Though,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
like in cities. So if you guys are more into maybe checking out things that aren't major box office releases, you still have like your local films and stuff like that that get released into certain theaters. I'm sure locally you can look it up, you know, indie film theaters, and they'll have stuff that you wouldn't necessarily see in like a Regal or an AMC or your bigger known theaters. So I would check that out too if that's something that interests y'all. I have been wanting to do that and checking out more indie films and like film festival films and stuff like that. Yeah. That get released in those types of theaters. Mm-hmm. But there's just so many big box office films that get made and that have massive budgets and are just so entertaining.
Yeah.
That it's hard for me to really like make time to go watch those smaller films. But those smaller films get overlooked, and there are some
really
well done films.
Yeah.
So that's why I want to try to get back in, or not back, well, but I want to try to get into that.
Some of these big blockbuster films, more horror often than not, are based off of short films that they come out. Like there's the movie Lights Out. They came out, I think, in like 2016. That was like produced or directed by James Wan. It was is based off of a 2.5 minute short film that came out in 2013 that won tons of awards. There's no dialogue in the short film. There is no blood, no nothing. It is just just two actors and one you don't even see,
because
you just see the shadow. It's really good. The movie Mama that came out in 2013, it has the Bryce Dallas Howard, the actor that plays Jaime Lannister in Game of Thrones. Okay. In it. That was based on a short film by Guillermo del Toro,
who's releasing a Pinocchio film.
It is. And I don't want to talk too much about films that are coming out next year, but there's two that come out early next year that are definitely on my radar. One of them being Ant-Man, Quantumania, that we just got a trailer
Ant-Man
for.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yep.
Comes out in February.
Mm-hmm.
Highly anticipating that film,
because that's going to be a big connection point for what's to come.
And for them to be doing that with an Ant-Man film, which typically, no pun intended, smaller size, smaller scale movies, to be introducing Kang, like full-on Kang, not who we got in Loki, like full-on Kang in Ant-Man and the Wasp, kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And then the next movie on my radar, which comes out in March, is Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves.
They are making a Dungeons and Dragons.
Chris Pine's in it.
Yes.
Chris Pine, the actress that plays Letty in Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm.
The main guy that was in Detective Pikachu.
Yeah.
He's in it. One of the guys from the main actor in Bridgerton, he's in it. And then the little girl that played the main girl in It, she was the younger girl. I forgot her name, who she had a crush on, like Bill.
Yeah. We just watched that a couple days ago. I don't know her name, but yeah, it's the girl version, not the adult.
No.
Girl.
Because the adult was Bryce Dallas Howard. I could be wrong. Don't know.
Perhaps. I don't know.
But the younger version, like there, and it's star studded cast, and that comes out in March. So I'm very looking forward to that.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. I think I saw there was a trailer for it.
Yeah, there's a trailer.
And I watched it and I was like, this is fun. Because I'm big into fantasy. I like fantasy. I mean, I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. I'm a Lord of the Rings. Star Wars is sci-fi. But like, I like kind of that non like modern world type stuff. Like, I like the whole creativity of creating a different world and different races and classes and things of that sort. So like, I might even end up going watching that movie. So
looks fun. looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. But that's great, man.
There's
going to be more, I'm sure, that we'll come across that we're going to be looking forward to watching and stuff. I know, Netflix they release, if you don't follow Netflix, they have an account on Instagram that they release like what's to come or what they're releasing the following month or something like that. Go follow that account. It's called What to Watch on Netflix, and they post what's new every month or every week or something like that. So that way you know what is coming to the app. I don't know if anybody else, I'm sure there are like other platforms do that, but I know Netflix does that, and I'm constantly looking at that page to see what is coming to the streaming app, because I know Netflix is definitely, I think, a little bit ahead of the rest of the game, rest of the people, as far as creating new Netflix content, which is exciting and fun. But yeah, is there anything else, man, that you
no, you think of? I'm sure there's more movies that are under my radar right now or something I just can't think of.
Yeah.
But just from those that we listed, that seems about it. And then the two that are coming out early next year. I'm not going to get into all the ones that are coming out next year. Yeah, but yeah. Just those two early.
Yeah, we'll get into those, I'm sure, as time goes on. And if you, you know, decide to return to the show, you're always welcome, by the way.
Yeah, this I mean, this is a lot of fun. Yeah, this is fun. I'm surprised it took me this long to get on an episode, but
I know
it was fun.
I apologize. I apologize. But to be fair, I mean, I've been in San Antonio for a while now, but this is the first time that, obviously, since, you know, we mentioned it at the beginning of the show, that we've actually done a recording or did an episode here since I moved into the house.
Yeah, into the new house. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, more to come. I'm very excited for getting back into the loop and swing of things, and hopefully I'm able to do this more often. And Brandon, you know, if you're available, I will let you know, you know, what I plan on doing. So if you wanted to come back, you're, again, more than welcome to do so. I think we're going to go ahead and wrap things up here. So I really appreciate everybody for sticking around, and I hope you enjoyed this new episode, this long-awaited episode, and, yeah, and long, you know, long time coming for this episode of Reel It In. I'm your host, Nick Sanchez. Thank you to my guest host, Brandon Shaw, for being here. And this was the episode on Pray for the Devil. And again, go see it at your own will if you want.
Don't
completely your decision. But we hope you guys stay safe, stay blessed, and we'll talk to you next time. Take care.